Welcome everyone to the HB Global Employee Ownership Podcast Series. Today we have with us Eric Crawford, who has served in many roles over his 37 years with the organization, most recently having served as COO and Division President of HB Home Services. He now serves in a consulting role for our company as he begins retirement. As always, we have with us Bob Whalen, CEO of HB Global, and Stacy Baum, Senior Vice President of People and Culture. Today, Eric's going to be talking about his journey from starting with HB Global out of high school and how he's been able to progress through the company without any formal college schooling or degrees, and how he's learned through the school of hard knocks and being trained and mentored by people throughout the organization, moving from an apprentice in the field all the way up to senior leadership roles. Just some housekeeping items before we get started. We recognize this podcast is available to the general public, but we just want to say the views expressed in it are in the context of HB Global and may not apply to broader audiences. This conversation has been edited for length, so you may notice some clunky transition points, but we thank you for your patience. With that, Stacy, take it away.
Thanks, Jamie. Eric, we're so excited to have you here with us today.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
We're looking forward to talking with you a little bit more about your journey over the last 37 years with HB. And I think where we want to start is just, why HB? What brought you here?
Sure. That's a really a good question. It's kind of an interesting start. So 1988, I was a senior in high school. I did take some college preparatory classes, but I honestly didn't really have it figured out at that point. I was starting to feel a little bit of those pressures. All right, now what's the next step? And so I had it kind of broken down. I had the grades and the desire to go to Penn State. I was thinking of that to do forestry. That would have been one of my avenues if I had gone academically. But then I also always enjoyed working with my hands. And so I did have a mechanical skill that I felt I could apply if that's what I chose to do. And I came from a blue collar family, and that was certainly something that we always valued, was being able to fix things, right? So that was in the back of my head. And then I did start to kind of feel that pressure, a little bit more so towards the end of the school year. And I started to really drive towards, I think that trade may actually be a really good avenue. Although I still didn't take the academic route off the table, but I did know that I wasn't going to go that very first year. I was going to give it a break one way or the other. And I was employed at the time and doing odds and ends. Now, I was a baseball player, and one of the players that I had played with, his dad came up to me at the end of the year and goes, "Man, I really watched you play that position over the years, and you give it your all." And he said, "What are you doing after?" He said, "I saw how hard you worked at it." And he said, "What are you doing for a living?" And I said, "Not really sure." I said, "But I'm starting to look at the field of HVAC." And he just looked at me. Now, I didn't know this guy other than, one of the players on my team's dads. And he goes, "Well, I work for HB McClure Company, and I'm the vice president of our commercial group." He said, "So do you have interest in commercial or residential?" And I'd done my research. I had known enough that the residential kind of piqued my interest. I said, "Well, residential." And he goes, "Tell you what, here's the guy's number. Give him a call." Leave the game. I think about this. That was a Thursday. Next day, I give this guy a call. I thought, let me pursue that. And the gentleman's name was Jim Berg, and he ran our residential business at the time. And he said, "Hey, I heard you already did your on-the-field interview," laughing. He goes, "When do you want to start?" Sitting there thinking, wow, there's an opportunity here. I said, when are you ready for me? He goes, "See you Monday morning." I said, "Okay, what do I need?" So he gave me a list of tools and et cetera, et cetera. I show up to work, and I didn't know if I was doing the right thing or not, but I at least had some tools. And he, came in, introduced it, had me fill out a little bit of paperwork. And that was, August 1st of 1988 was when I started my career here. And at that point, we did a lot of residential new construction. So I had been paired up with one of our technicians, and it's two-man crews. And so we would go through that process. I'd come in and learn and et cetera, et cetera. But there I am there a couple months, and I'm seeing little areas that we could improve. And so I started to talk to him about some things that I was seeing that we could do more efficient. Now, try to do that to somebody that's already been there, umpteen years, right? And saying, "Who's this guy?" But he said, "Okay, well, what are those things?" And he wasn't real receptive at the very beginning, but over the course of time, he's like, "So anyway," it became part of our routine. He said, we got to a job one day and he said, "Go ahead and do what you wanted to do." And it was nothing major, but it was just the strategy of how we did things. And lo and behold, he's like, wow, like that really helped a lot. Like, so that was giving me confidence that in life, you know, if you see things and you do it respectfully, speak up. And all you're trying to do is improve things. And if you do it correctly, no matter what that personality is of the person receiving it, it's going to be done in a manner that's going to be in the best interest of everybody, right? So that was a life lesson. Lo and behold, you know, we did a ton of new construction, and basically within a year and a half, I was a lead. So, you know, I went from, you know, not knowing a thing to a year and a half later, you know, running my own jobs. And, you know, then I had an apprentice that was hired. And so at the time, like I mentioned, we did residential new construction. We did an awful lot of it. So, I mean, we would do upwards of 185 plus houses a year, and we would just kind of crank them out. So I, you know, I was doing well with that. And then I was asked to go to the ABC Associate Builders and Contractors program. Mm-hmm. And that was in 1990. So 2 years in, they were like, hey, you know, if you want to, you know, further your abilities and education, here you go. And kicked that around because, again, I wasn't like the most academic person per se. So I did that. And that was a 4-year school. And it follows basically from, you know, your fall to your early summer. But it was every Tuesday and Thursday night. I committed to that for 4 years. And, you know, I vividly remember sitting in some of those classes going, my God, am I glad I didn't go to college? Like, for me to sit and just like listen, and like, I was a hands-on person.
Eric, I love your story because I think what you're sharing is that school and hands-on brings something different for each individual, and what brings your passion and fulfillment in the career and the job that you're doing is so important. So sure. I love that. I also really like that you came through a referral to HB. That's right. Something that we still do today and love referrals. I think that it's a big part of who we are as a business, of being able to recognize talent outside of just reviewing a resume.
That's so true. Right.
You know, the other thing that really comes out for me in the early part of that story too is your lead at least being receptive enough to experimentation to give you the opportunity to try it. Maybe he's still skeptical, you know, but we're willing to experiment and try to improve things, you know. And I think he was going to have a skeptical eye where you really were going to have to improve the process. It wasn't just doing it differently. You know, you were going to have to prove out that you could actually do it more efficiently. And I think that's a lot about what we've been talking about. Yes. You know, recently about autonomy and testing, but there's an accountability aspect to it too. It's not just to do things the way everybody wants to do them out there. You actually have to prove out that it's going to be more effective. And, you know, what if what you wanted to do really wasn't more effective? Oh, we used an extra hour or 2 hours or 3 hours, figured out that it wasn't more effective, and we go back to the way we're doing it. But if you saved an hour, 2 hours or 3 hours, not only do we save it on that job, but we save it going forward for every job we do. And I think that mathematically shows why experimentation is so important and why taking those risks are worthwhile, because they pay off so much more than what you lose in something if it's not.
I also love the story and these examples, Bob, of just having an open mind and a willingness to not have everything planned out, mapped out, go and try something new. I think, look what it leads to.
It does. It leads to even more creativity is what ends up happening. And I was starting to go, okay, this is how this works, right? Because again, I was 18. I didn't know anything. You know, born and raised in Central PA here all 55 years of my existence. And you know, I have this worldview of Central PA. I didn't have the college background to show the diversity in the different areas and the different mindsets. And so I kind of had to always learn that on the fly. And so I get to the 4 years of the ABC, and it was great. I was like 1994 at the time. 1996, unfortunately, the gentleman who I interviewed through had gotten ill and passed on. And, you know, we weren't a very big operation at the time. And it created an opening, and I was asked if I would have any interest in interviewing for my first ever job, you know, in the office. And, you know, after thinking about, well, sure, let's see what this part looks like. And so at that point, was I there 8 years in the field? And So I was lo and behold, I was accepted, you know, through the interview as a selected individual. And, you know, so I start this whole new career, right? So I went from, you know, zero experience, 8 years of career, to all of a sudden the same trade, but a whole different mentality on what aspect of the trade you're looking at. Again, it kept it fresh for me. You know, 8 years, sometimes someone could be like, I've been doing the same thing for 8 years. And it gave me an opportunity. So, you know, I always took advantage of opportunities that arose. And so at the time, Jerry Donnity had led our division, our operation. And, you know, I thank Jerry to this day. I mean, he introduced me to, you know, another part of the business. And, you know, so now I'm getting these responsibilities that are more account driven and et cetera, et cetera. In 2008, we might have been about 195 employees, give or take.
Somewhere around there.
And so Bob Whalen, you know, Bob McClure, I'm sitting there and I remember him saying, hey, everybody in the back of the building. Wow, this must be pretty important stuff, right? You go back there and we sit and there's, you know, Bob Whalen. And Bob McClure says, hey, I have an announcement to make. I sold the company. And it was an interesting time for
everybody.
How did
you feel? Do you remember how you felt?
So I had 20 years in at the time. I had already personally, to speak, I had progressed my career, right? Mm-hmm. I felt that there was other opportunities laying ahead, but I also knew that we were only so big, right? So I wasn't naive. You know, I knew there would be maybe a place for me, higher senior leadership at some point, but when and what, who knows? But it was that feeling of like, uh-oh, now what? You know, because it's the unknowns. It's, you know, it's always the unknowns,
right,
in life that's having to go, uh-oh, now what, right?
Yeah.
But I am a pretty open-minded person. So I also thought, okay, you know, Bob McClure had sat there and he said, you know, introduce Bob, you know, all the things that, and how he met him and, you know, all this, you know, going on. And you're sitting there thinking, first thing I thought was, oh, wow, we just got bought by somebody that doesn't know our trade. That was my natural instinct.
Right.
And thinking, you know, wow, like, you know, what's that all about? Because again, you're homegrown. Everybody around you has either, you know, played a part in it or you know, had some form of understanding of the business. And so there was a little maybe glitch in the comfort level at the time. And so you're sitting there thinking, okay, but what I didn't realize at the time was, wow, like that was the one of the biggest, best turning points of my life and every tenured employee's life, right?
Yeah.
And so you know, we get an opportunity to meet Bob. And you know, Bob was a visionary. I never seen a visionary before. I never seen strategic. Again, you know, I come in every day and I do this to improve this. And you know, but there was this bold approach of, and maybe not to the level where we are now, but there was this feeling of, we're gonna grow. We're gonna create opportunity. So I was one that pretty quickly was like, I'm okay with this. Like, I'm here 20 years, but this is only going to get better, you know, hopefully. And I didn't know Bob at the time, but I'm thinking, wow, this guy's definitely, you know, got his stuff together, his act together. And why wouldn't I at the time, right? And so, and then Bob told his story from like, you know, 2008 to the time we become ESOP. And, you know, it was a tough economy at the time and things happened. But ultimately, what had happened is when Bob came in with this larger, you know, growth, futuristic, you know, growth mentality, is it shifted people as well. So at the time, Jerry Donnity, he had a marketing major. And at the time, there was an opening for him to come into marketing. You know, there I am, you know, kind of working my way up through here. And our residential looked different than it does now. It was kind of broken up between service and install. And it was, hey, here's an opportunity for that next thing. You want to interview for this position? And I'm along with some other people interviewed. And again, I was awarded you know, that opportunity. But what it also did is it gave, and then Bob, then I got to work with Bob and got some insight on Bob of the business side of this, not just the day to day. And we said, hey, let's consider taking residential and combining it into one residential piece, which was service and install and managing it from the same, because even though it was the same, they kind of fought against each other sometimes, right? They were you know, little silos. And so that was 2012. And now, you know, I'm starting to advance my thought process on career again, right? And, you know, Bob introduces the ESOP. You know, back then, to be fair to every employee, being part of that from the beginning, it was just ESOP at the time. Like, we didn't know the impact.
Right.
It sounded wonderful. It was, you know, what was it, 270 cents share start? Am I right?
Yep.
That was a good guess. That was good. but like, you're like, okay, and then you have X amount of shares. You're like, oh, okay, cool. You know, like, well, all of a sudden, you know, as you're starting to progress and see your value that's being created and it being shared, and it was all of a sudden this whole other level of involvement that I don't really know how you could ever get or not get outside of an ESOP, because it does make you think differently. It gives you ownership thinking. And when you're, you know, behind somebody that is just so growth oriented, it's a really good feeling, because ultimately there I am, you know, starting X years ago and having a career. Now all of a sudden there's these other opportunities. Mm-hmm. And that's where I would highly recommend it to anybody that is going through a career. I mean, there's a level of comfort with what you do day to day, but be open-minded enough on it to know, like, this is today. Try to think a little strategically on what's there tomorrow, and give yourself that opportunity to enjoy the thought process, because we get so entrapped in what we do today. You have no idea what's going to lay ahead if you don't let yourself think about it, or if you're not open-minded enough. But if you give yourself the opportunity to get excited about what's around us, you can start as a technician and end up in an accounting department or marketing, or, you know, a president of a division.
Right.
Where does that happen? It doesn't. And, you know, so I'm here being involved with things I never in a million years would have thought I'd been involved with. I had the opportunity, to again interview for something. And so, you know, I interview at the time, I become COO of our, you know, entire organization. And, you know, that was a, you know, surreal moment in life. And, but it was also, I was never really, maybe there was times I could say I was intimidated, might be the wrong word, but when you're at that high level of an organization and you don't have that background, you can sit in a room like this and you can be in high level meetings and literally question yourself. I've questioned myself at the time. I'm being fair, like, and it's okay. But what I would do is say, you know, wow, like, there's all this terminology I've never even heard of, but I would sit there and I'd take it all in. And I would do what I needed to do to understand it. And I knew do what I needed to do to make sure that people around me were successful, right? And so that was my driving force, was to get better, even though it was in a level that I know for a fact that people go many, many, many years of higher education to be put in that position. And I know I can just say, you know, thank you to Bob, thank you to my peers, thanks to my coworkers, because they trusted me. Like, if it was a credential thing, I wouldn't be sitting here today. But they were like, you know what? I think you can do this. And so now, you know, I'm being fed positivity. I'm being part of things that are way bigger. What was our employee base in 2017? Maybe, oh goodness, it was a lot.
Maybe 1,000.
Maybe about 1,000. But think 47 to 1,000. And So
a little bit of growth,
and Nash is on board now, Plumbing Mechanical. Bob was just kind of removing himself a little bit from there, as he had spent time getting them up and transitioning. So I'm starting to go to Florida, you know, I'm on an airplane, right? Flying, you know, to Florida to meet with, you know, Cliff Nash and Ryan Nash, and, you know, just high level stuff, right? Going to job sites, things that I'm sitting there going, wow, look at this job site. You know, I started in a house, it's 2,000 square feet. You know, I'm stepping on, you know, a million square foot warehouse and go, wow. Like, so you're just starting to really appreciate everybody and all the efforts that it takes to make all this happen. And
those businesses do different type of work.
Oh, different
type
of work.
So that's another area of opportunity for you to learn a different type of business.
Sure. But yeah, so now everything that you know changes again. And that could be really intimidating, but at the end of the day, you can't let it be. You know, you just got to do your best. I'm going to reflect back. In 2008, two things really happened for me. I didn't even know were happening. Bob Whelan's introduction to our company was going to be just one of the best things that ever happened to our tenured employees for growth, growth mindsets. And also, I gained an experience. I sat in a room listening to Bob McClure say we were just sold. I had every emotion that you could imagine. And I went through that.
Yep.
Like, where was my head? Like, that's where. Now, I'm part of sitting in a room with senior leadership, flying to Florida or Boston in the back of a room, hearing the owner of that company explain to his employees that they had just been sold. Oh, and by the way, to the people in the back of the room. And it's like, I knew exactly how every one of them felt. And it's, it, there's concern, there's, and, but ultimately when I had the opportunity to sit with them then and say, I know how you feel, let's talk about this. And it's just, again, a life lesson that I didn't even know was happening in 2008. And all of a sudden you're starting to see this back of the room, oh, we've been sold to, wow, this is pretty cool. Like that was really awesome being able to do that.
Eric, I think you make a really good point. And, you know, this is one thing we talk about is it is 100% natural when there's a big life change for people to see the negative things that come out. So they see the risk of this change and the negative side. And one of the things we spend a lot of time is encouraging people to consider the positive side
right.
of a change, that there can be positives that come out of change. It's not always negative. It's natural for our brains. Our brains are all wired. The first thing we think about is what negative thing can come out of a change. But it's really important to recognize that it can be positive.
Right.
And we spend a lot of time focused on that. And I know, you know, back to some history, before I joined HB, they had a bad experience with an acquisition in State College. And so the company was wired to see an acquisition as being a negative and a risk. You know, and we said, well, these things can work out. It
right.
can be positive. And so, you know, we started doing acquisitions and we had some success. And it's been a big part of the value creation that we've had here at HB Global over history. But now we've experienced it again with an acquisition that did not go very well. And it would have been easy for us to retrench and stop because of we experienced this risk again. But we were lucky enough that we had already done a couple of other acquisitions after this, you know, bad experience. So I think it's really helped us to stay the course and to know, you know, that this is an important part. And just because we had one bad outcome, it's not. So a lot of the things you tie together, I think is really important to recognize. There's always a risk profile of a decision you make. And we have a tendency to focus on the negative, but there's also positive outcomes. And just like you're experimenting, it cannot, you know, it may not work out, but if it does, it has huge upside. And I think those are important things organizationally we need to embrace, you know,
right.
as well.
I learned so much that communication is the key. If people don't know what they're part of, it's not going to work.
Right.
You do your best. Some of it takes one-on-one conversations. Some of it takes group conversations, but you just keep plugging and you keep doing your thing. But you have to be others focused. And I started to get my fulfillment of meeting expectations.
Yep.
And I was watching people grow, watching them have the opportunity that I had, knowing that maybe they didn't have the credentials, but giving them the opportunity. One thing that I was always able to do that's really difficult is have candid conversations. I owe a lot of people, you know, Bob included, just a huge thank you. My gratitude's like off the charts. Again, because there I walked through the door with a little red toolbox.
Well, let me tell a little story about, you know, something that Eric gave me to, you know, I think, you know, put an exclamation point on all this and how it's changed, you know, how we communicate things. So at one point, you know, Eric just brought up his ability to have the hard conversation, not always my strength, you know, like, you know, I got all kinds of excuses of why, you know, not to do that, you know, but Eric said to me one time, he said, Bob, you know, you're not being kind to them if you don't give them direct feedback. You know, if you allow them to think that they're doing the right thing when in reality, you know, they're not, you're not helping them by not giving them their feedback. And how that, you know, I'll never forget that conversation. It's one of the seminal conversations I've had, you know, in my entire career, because as you know, Eric said, we all have weaknesses. We all have things that we don't do as well. But if everybody, you know, thinks about our radical autonomy model, the part at the end is about accountability. And it's one that I've been very open, you know, was not always a strength of mine, but is an incredibly important part if you're going to have a company that thrives on autonomy, people must be held accountable for results. And that really stems out of a conversation, you know, that Eric and I had about, you know, Bob, you're not being kind if you don't give them the last 10%, you know, relative to that. And I will never forget that. I will be eternally grateful for Eric having that conversation with me. And I think it's just, you know, a great way to wrap up, you know, this conversation. Thank Eric for his 37 years of service and what he's done for us. Our residential business is an incredibly important part. What we learned from integration, you know, while Eric was involved in that time where we were doing, you know, we really did, you know, a number of acquisitions really quickly, and a bunch of us are running around with our heads cut off, you know, trying to do all this, you know, which is also a downside of somebody that's, you know, incredibly optimistic and think the world is our oyster. Well, it does create problems from time to time for the people that are in the system. But I just can't thank Eric enough for what he's done for this company and being a true ambassador of what this company is about. So
thank you,
Eric, thank you.
It's a lot. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric.
And thanks to all of you. It's been, and thanks to all my peers and coworkers. And it took an army, right? We're doing it. Thank you.
And Eric, I think, you know, as employees get ready to retire, one of the big goals I hear often is, I just want to leave the company a little better than where I found it. I think you far exceeded that goal. Thank you for that.
Appreciate that. Thank you so much. Thanks for this opportunity.
Thanks, guys. If you have questions for Bob, we'd love to hear them and answer them in future podcasts. Feel free to submit them to eopodcast@hb-global.com, and we'll see you next time.